Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Fair Data Podcast, where we discuss all things FAIR, making data findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable. I'm Meroz Ahmed, producer of the Fair Data Podcast, and my guest today is Rory McNeil, regular host of the Fair Data Podcast. Welcome, Rory.
Hi, thanks, Meroz. It's good to be here on the other side of the table.
Great. I understand you were blown away by the Netherlands National Open Science Festival last week. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Well, I think blown away is probably not a bad way of describing how I felt right from the moment that I walked into the very open, huge atrium in the middle of this very nice building on the campus of the Vrije Universiteit Amsterdam, the Free University of Amsterdam. And it's interesting, walking into the building, you felt a sense of being welcomed and an openness which reflected the theme of the day. And so it was a very positive initial impression. And then that impression of being welcomed, openness was definitely confirmed as the day went on, and it was also to that was added a lot of energy and lively debate about open science issues. So and that manifested itself in a whole range of different ways, both in terms of the process of the day, the way it was organized, as well as the substance. So it was kind of multifaceted, and I think that's one of the things which impressed me the most was how it all came together. And maybe I can unpick some of the details as we continue our conversation.
Wow, yeah, that sounds great. So let's dig down a little. What was your favorite session or sessions?
Well, it's interesting. The plenary sessions were actually extremely innovative and creative, I thought. But maybe I'll save those to later and talk more specifically about some of the breakout sessions or the workshops. Or the one in particular that I found very interesting was called Building Research Dream Teams, How to Build Team Science and How to Collaborate with Not-So-Obvious Others. And it was organized by a bunch of people, many of whom came from the Technical University of Delft. And it was one of these things where they set you a problem. You broke up into groups in each table had a group. And so it was a bunch of different tables in the room and they set you a problem. Then you had to figure out how to collaborate with your table mates and come up with a response to this particular situation, which they described. And it was quite a thorny situation because it was more or less coming up with, it was almost like it was new, coming up with a new product. And the new product was a mirror, a theoretical product, which was a mirror that when you look into the mirror in the morning, it would diagnose any health problems that you have and then automatically send the diagnosis to your GP. And then that would provide a platform for discussing the issue. So the idea was how to organize the resources to make this, turn this from a project into an actual product, working with researchers at universities, with people from the health industry, et cetera, et cetera. And it was a very challenging exercise and almost too challenging. And being at a table with a bunch of seven or eight people that no one knew each other, it was fascinating to see how, and they were all, I must say, they were all really bright. I thought they were really bright anyway, how different people try to come at this problem-solving exercise from different perspectives and grapple with making this rather ambitious idea, trying to bring it down to concrete practicalities of what you'd actually do in this situation. And so that was really interesting. And I thought the diversity of approaches by the individuals was really interesting. In fact, I thought the individuals were very impressive. And in several cases, I ended up having follow-up discussions with them later in the day about other things as well. So that was certainly probably at the top of my list of the favorite sessions.
Wow, yeah, that sounds very engaging. And you mentioned the bright individuals who attended. We'll get to that in a second. I just wanted to ask you, what did you feel was particularly distinctive about the way in which this festival was run compared to some of the others that you've attended?
Well, let me come on to the plenary sessions, because as you can see from my example of the building research team's workshop, it was very interactive. And that wasn't surprising in a way, because I think we've all been in these kind of sessions before. But what really surprised me, I don't think I've ever seen it, was, and it was extremely ambitious, there were two or three, two maybe, plenary sessions, one at the beginning of the day and one at the end of the day. And they were run very entertainingly by two people, one of whom is the rector of the Free University, so the top person at the university, and the other of whom was the director of the libraries at the Free University. So both very senior people, and they did a very effective, it was almost, you felt like they were experienced TV hosts. They were doing a very effective and entertaining kind of tag team thing. But that was nice. But what was really amazing, I thought, was that they actually engaged, and there was a large auditorium with, I don't know, 300-400 people in it, I would guess. And they actually engaged they would ask questions in certain points of the program. They would ask questions of individuals in the audience, and some of the questions were really questions which put both themselves, I would say, and the people in the audience well out of their comfort zone. You know, difficult questions about even the limitations of open science or things like that, and so it was quite a risky thing to do, and there was a couple of controversial things which were said, which was good. And later in the day, the Minister of Education attended, which is an interesting point about how important these things are considered, open science is considered in the Netherlands, if the Minister of Education was willing to come and spend time. And he also engaged in some of these quite challenging areas and sensitive areas, and they pulled it off. I mean, it could have been either really flat, no one would have, no one responded to the questions, or it could have gotten a bit unpleasant, or the questions could have seemed not that relevant. But in fact, none of those things was the case, and they actually had some quite interesting substantive discussions, multiple ones around different topics, engaging different members of the audience. And I thought that was a very ambitious thing to try. And they actually pulled it off. So that was really interesting.
Wow. So it seems like both the activities and the speakers were all very engaging. You also mentioned that you had a lot of conversations with some bright people. Any observations about the range of people who attended?
Yes, well, it was primarily people from the Netherlands. I don't think I met anyone else. I came from Scotland, but I don't think I met anyone else who wasn't living in the, well, it was very, there were a lot of people. One of the interesting things about the open science revolution, which is being spearheaded, not exclusively, but I think largely or in many ways in the Netherlands, is the fact that because it's so interesting, you have people from lots of other countries who have moved to the Netherlands to be involved in open science. So certainly I met people who were not themselves Dutch, who'd, you know, moved to be involved and were working in the Netherlands. But I think everybody I met was based in the Netherlands, so they were, but from all over the Netherlands, from mostly from universities, but also from some of the government organizations that are involved in open science, like DANTS, for example, and others. They were heavily, I suppose the largest number of people were involved in research data management and data stewardship of some kind. There were people doing who were developing tools of various kinds, so tools developers. That was also interesting. I met one of the first conversation I had in the morning was with a guy who is himself, he's a researcher. He's not involved in, I mean, he's doing cancer research of some kind. So he's a biologist, and he was interested in open science, but he wasn't an open science administrator or practitioner, if you will. And he was an interesting guy. And then actually he popped up at a few of the conversations later in the day and was saying some, I think possibly in one of the plenary sessions as well, and was saying some interesting things. And I think that showed the very positive things. I should think that showed the engagement of researchers in this process. It's not just a top-down thing or a administrator thing trying to introduce open science. There's appetite for open science in the research community as well.
That's great to hear. Very encouraging. I'm sure you're having lots of conversations with lots of people. Apart from this conversation, are there any others that stand out?
Well, yes, I had a number of conversations with, I had quite a few conversations with, I don't know if it wasn't really intentional. I don't know how it worked out, but I had a number of conversations with people who are involved in data stewardship roles. And there's an interesting development taking place in the Netherlands, which they all seem to focus on or came up in conversation, which is the IRODS, which is a virtual file management system, has been adopted by many of the Dutch universities, or is being adopted by many of the Dutch universities as kind of the backbone of their data research infrastructure, which is going to impact on all sorts of aspects of the way in which data is managed and also the way in which open science takes place. And it's also supported by SURF, which is the Dutch national research infrastructure and services organization that provides these services and tools to Dutch universities. So the individual universities were all aware of it and keen on it, and the fact that it's being adopted at or is being provided or supported by SURF is it also an indication of that fact that it's going to be become quite fundamental. So that was interesting in the sense that it shows that, or it shows, I think it's an indication of how open science needs to have infrastructure to support it as well. It's not just a matter of culture change. So that was one conversation that I thought was interesting. Kind of at the other end of the spectrum, there was a fascinating, the Minister of Education gave out 5 prizes that apparently there'd been some kind of competition for open science. And there were five winners came up and they talked about the studies that they'd done, and they were absolutely mind-blowing examples of projects which had involved, in many cases, the way in which it was interesting, kind of an analogy, in the same way that the audience participants were invited to participate in the festival, so too the people who were involved in the studies, that i.e. the I forget what the word is, but the people who maybe the participants in the studies, whether it was a medical study or a sociology study, whatever it was, they had all 5 of the winners had very creatively and very proactively engaged their people that were in effect being studied and made them more like participants in the work. So a bit of a combination of a bit of citizen science, but more than citizen science, bringing the subjects of the studies, letting them actively contribute as well. So those are 2 really interesting kind of themes which came out.
Amazing. So moving to your first conversations with the data stewards, I guess, can you take a step back and put the festival and what's going on with open science in the Netherlands in a broader perspective?
Well, yes, I'm a big fan of and an admirer of what's happening in the Netherlands with open science, and so that's why I was so pleased to be able to attend the festival. And I always say to people that I think the Netherlands is leading the way here. And I even sometimes give the perhaps a bit far-fetched, but nevertheless possibly pertinent analogy of the 17th century commercial revolution, when the Netherlands and England spearheaded what really the beginning of modern commerce with their navies. And I wonder sometimes if we won't look back, or people won't look back in 50 or 100 years with open science and say, well, geez, the Netherlands did it again with open science. So that was quite interesting. But it's also interesting to get the perspective of, that's my perspective, looking in from the outside. And certainly there's a lot of enthusiasm for open science in the Netherlands, and this festival was a good example of that. But I did have a kind of eye-opening conversation afterwards with the person who, as I mentioned, who's one of the two co-conveners, who's the head of the library at the Free University. And I was waxing eloquent about how wonderful the Netherlands is and it's leading this revolution. And she said, oh, you know, she's had kind of a more cautious perspective. And she said, oh, well, I don't know if we can, interesting, I don't know if we can maintain our lead. And then she said, the French are actually something to the effect of the French are actually far ahead of us in terms of their national support for open science, something which I hadn't really been aware of as well. But again, that's a, you could say that from an international perspective, that's of course a positive thing too. And it also whet my appetite to try to learn more about what's happening in France.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much, Rory. That's it for this episode. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion. The Fair Data Podcast is provided by fairdatapodcast.org and produced by Maris Ahmed. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at the Fair Data Podcast. New episodes are released every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. UK, and 5 p.m. Central European Time, and late in Asian Pacific and elsewhere. See you then.